cute in it.
What?
Moving on.
Oh.
I never identified as a harmonizer.
Interesting.
I just identified as gay.
This is where we go back to something that's just better as cartoons.
Yes. Yes. He's a Southern woman. Because he's like, he ran.
Everybody.
Hello.
We are back with another episode of Fangirl Central. I'm Amanda.
And I am Amber.
And being a fangirl is central to our identity.
That's so awesome.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yes.
That was really as cool in person as it was in video, probably.
Oh my, oh my God. Okay. I am so excited.
Me too.
We're talking over each other.
Oh, we have a guest. We have a guest with us. Hello. For those who can't see, but also you've heard.
And you've probably read
the signs. All of the signs are here. We have a guest in the studio.
He is just so funny online and probably in real life too.
Yes.
If you're lucky enough to know him. He has great style.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I feel very good right now.
Lettering on his shirt matches his pants, and we all love color coordination.
That's right. And it's perfect. And that's so important. And I'm so glad that you noticed.
Yes.
That makes me feel very good.
It's amazing. It's an entire outfit. It's amazing.
Love it. Thank you.
And just to introduce Zay Dante.
Yes.
What's up?
We're
What's
so excited. Up? I'm so excited for this episode.
Me
I can't believe.
Me too.
Oh my gosh. I'm
like,
pumped.
We're here.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like we're talking about awards shows and awards seasons, and the Oscars just happened. Like, the awards season just ended.
It did, and wow. Yeah.
It did technically end, because it starts in January with, what, Golden Globes, and then is this the last of it?
Doesn't it kind of start in the fall, because the Emmys and the...
Technically. I don't know the dates as well, but I think, going from Golden Globes, it kind of starts with TV and ends with movies, you know? So that's kind of like the way that it goes.
When are the Tonys? Because I feel like they're in the summer.
The Tonys aren't even in award season. They're in June.
That's June. I was like, but aren't the Tonys in June?
Yeah. The Broadway season is just completely different.
Okay.
You know? And like, I don't know. It's fine because it's almost a completely different award show than everything else because the Tonys is essentially a large performance in so many different ways. Like, even the hosting is incredibly different.
That's a concert.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the Tonys for a few years.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You have to write... Well, I guess you have to write
every award show.
But writing musicals.
Yeah. You're writing musicals, essentially. Or you're writing songs, at least, for the Tonys.
Yeah. You're writing, like, a jukebox musical.
How many
every year for the Tonys?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Wait, how many years did he do that?
I'm pretty sure it was like 2 years in a row, and then I think he got way too busy.
It was definitely the years when he was doing Hamilton. I think are you talking about before Hamilton?
I think it was either right before or like during.
Okay,
I feel like it was since he had like the fame of In the Heights, and like the notoriety, and it also might have been during Moana because I feel like I don't know he was like showcasing a bunch of different types of writing.
Exactly,
that kind of makes sense.
Anytime they were doing any sort of like rap, it was especially. Especially after Hamilton, but every time they were rapping on stage, period, it was like, okay, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
It had something to do with it.
And then all of a sudden, every song just like had a rap verse, and it was like, all right.
Well, he's like changed the world. Like literally, there was something I was watching the other day. It was like some cartoon and he had nothing to do with it, but I was like, so he now.
I know what you're talking about. Was it on Netflix?
Maybe. Hazbin Hotel? Is it Hazbin Hotel?
No, but I've been wanting to see that. What is that? How's that?
That's I haven't watched it, but it's like that cartoon that's also, it's like a musical cartoon.
Oh, I love that.
And they're in hell.
They're in hell, and it's got a lot of Broadway people in it.
I didn't know that.
Me neither.
I just wanted to see it because it looks cool.
Yeah, it looks tight. I've heard, Twitter was like, oh, it's okay. I don't know. Twitter did whatever Twitter does all the time.
I literally hate Twitter. Is that a hot, that's not a hot take, but I hate Twitter.
I love it, I hate it, and I'll never get off it.
Me neither.
That's how I feel.
It's like 50% the like funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then 50% like dread, doom.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, it dread, is. Yes, doom. It's like, wow, you don't need to tweet that.
Exactly.
No.
You know, my life got significantly better when I started realizing I have to take all these tweets with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it doesn't actually matter. You know, these
like,
people
you don't know
have...
what they're doing.
Right. I don't know what these people, what they're dealing with in their regular lives or why they're so upset. Yes, I don't know why they're so angry.
Yes.
But they are pissed.
They are sad.
Perpetually pissed.
Yeah.
Oh my
people
God. They
are
hate it all.
So...
It's like,
The people are so rude online. Yeah. Like, on Twitter, I think it's like, probably one of the worst. But then, like, on TikTok, the comments, and you probably completely relate to this, because TikTok is, like, your number one thing.
They take everything, and they run with it.
So,
like,
literally.
Yes. That's not what we're talking about.
Like,
exactly.
We didn't say that.
Right. Jokes don't really exist on, I mean, you could say this about everything, and I don't want to sound like a comedian that's in his 40s and, like, has been canceled 30 times.
Right.
But jokes really don't exist in the sense that people don't know that you're kidding. Like, even in, like, something that's a skit or something, they'll be like, oh, is this your real life? Why are you, how are you going through these things and you're okay? I'm like, guys, like, it's a bit. Like, it's not like an actual thing. But I don't know. I feel like that also just has to do with, like, the viewer base is probably a little bit younger because it's TikTok.
Yes, and that's also the same way it's like, you don't know what's happening with every person tweeting.
Yeah, exactly.
I forget that, like, the comments I'm reading are not someone with the same, like,
right,
like, life. I'm like, oh, you're 12. Like, you're literally
12. You're 12, so like, oh, okay.
That makes sense now.
That was back in the day. Like, I remember being a kid watching TV shows and being like, oh, they were literally going through that.
Yeah.
So this is just their TV. So.
I also,
or,
like,
picking up on some things and then just completely missing the point of others.
Right.
Just, like, running with what I got.
Exactly.
I mean, I have said it on this podcast before, but I literally had to, like, take with a grain of salt when I heard Zac Efron say shit. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, I have to, like, grapple with this, and he's so problematic now.
Yeah.
When I was 12, so it's like,
yes, I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's what they're probably going through that, and it's like, oh, like, you don't have a dictionary, like, you don't have the life experience, and you're just still figuring it out, and it's okay.
Yes.
And I think also as artists, all of us, and like all of our friends too, who are, like, in the, like, coming into our true artistry and craft, like, it's something to remember, that the way that, like, oh, Twitter's so mad at this. It's like, Twitter's not a person.
Yeah,
like, Twitter's not a person.
That's right.
People are living their real lives outside of this app.
Yeah,
you have to remember that.
Yeah,
and you could, like, live your life and be like, oh my God, I loved that movie, and then go on Twitter and everyone hates it.
Yeah,
in quotes, everyone hates it. It's like, okay, but who is everyone, like,
because I liked it.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a really good time.
Yeah,
and go on Twitter and they're like, this was the worst thing that has ever existed in history.
I don't know what the scale is. Like, I'm genuinely so confused. Like, I'm like, what will y'all like and what don't y'all like? Because I can't tell.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
They all seem to agree with it. Like,
everybody seems to be on the same page, which really feels very alienating a lot of the times, because you're like,
what'd you say?
Like, I don't get
it. Yeah, why can't we have a conversation about this that doesn't start or end with LOL, did you think that blah blah blah?
Right,
or
exactly.
It's like, okay, I saw I'm like,
just
I don't
asking
need to
questions like, so you didn't get that this is, like, totally offensive.
Right.
Like, you're like,
I have to, like, I get caught up in reading back and forth on Twitter, like, in the comments.
Yeah.
If I see something crazy, I will click on it and look at what people are saying.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm just looking for someone who has my opinion.
Yeah.
So I can be like, okay, who thinks that I'm right and who is against me?
Right, yeah.
And sometimes I'll see and it'll be like somebody being like, asking a question, and it's clearly a young person who doesn't know the answer to the question, otherwise they wouldn't say it.
Right.
And then someone underneath goes, LOL, we've all known that for 20 years. And then the person, the original post, like, the OP will be like, okay, sorry I didn't know that. That's why I asked the question, but thanks for being so rude about it,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have to be rude when correcting someone.
Yes. You really don't. You can, but there's just, like, everybody wants the opportunity to dunk on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know what I mean? And that's, like, such a great, I think that's such a, and maybe, I don't know, maybe this is a hot take, but that's such a feeling that I think everybody feels but doesn't want to admit that they love, like, when they, oh, yeah, I get to
know something more.
You know what
get
I mean?
Yeah,
it's just human.
Yeah, and in the same way, like, there also is, like, arguments where they'll be kind of saying things that can mutually be true, or maybe they're saying the same thing in a different way.
Yeah,
and they're just going back and forth, and it's like, y'all aren't talking about the same thing. Y'all aren't even trying to. You just want to win,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And, like, that's also natural. Like, you just want to win the argument, but it's like, pull back.
And it's so much easier to do when you're not looking somebody in the face.
Yeah,
and they're not directly in front of you, and you can't, like, see them. It's like, if the only thing you're arguing with is words, it's so easy to just throw words.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have to.
I think it's so, like, to tie it to back to award shows a little, like, It's like, yes, with words, with Twitter, that's why it's so toxic. But then it's like TikTok, where people have their faces there, and then people will comment as if the person who posted it wasn't in the video.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, well, why is her face like that?
Yes.
And it's like, why is my face like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's like, you know, why did you come here and put this in there?
This comes up in my notification.
That's so crazy. It is all so insane.
Unhinged, actually.
They talk to you like you're in third person.
Yes.
Like you're not even there.
It's like, I can see.
This was not made in the 80s. Like,
right.
I posted this, which is why YouTubers and TikTokers and influencers, I feel like, get the brunt of it versus like award shows where it's like socially accepted to just like dunk on if a celebrity doesn't look good on the red carpet
or
like if
their
performance was awful. It's like with award show commentary and stuff, it's like, what is the line?
Yeah.
But also, those actors, like, they're not. They might see it online, but you're not saying it directly to them.
Yeah. Most and all, like, oftentimes they're not going to respond unless it's like just on occasion there are chronically online celebrities. But I feel like the majority of celebrities, they get off because they're like, you don't know when one day they like you and then the next day that they don't, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, and that's the thing too, is that that will happen and that's fine. And I feel like on the topic of, that's why I don't, all these people who try to be like offensive to be funny and then they're like, oh, I guess they're going to cancel me from this. It's like, first of all, to be canceled, people have to care about you. And if you're out there making a bunch of offensive jokes, nobody cares about you in the first place. So it's like the chances of that happening is very low. But also it's like, why do you care so much about what these people on Twitter like have to say?
Yeah.
They hate, we'll hate anybody without saying anything. And it's just, It's just
clearly for clicks.
It's for clicks.
You're just talking out of your ass.
Exactly. Yeah. It's because you're not funny. You're not funny. And you think that you have to be offensive to be funny.
Shock factor.
Right. Exactly. You
know? Yeah.
It's so silly. But yeah, I mean, like, in terms of like award shows, it kind of just happened at the Oscars because Emma Stone beat Lily Gladstone.
Oh, yeah.
The best actress. And I, like, when it happened, you can kind of tell. When she won, how shocked she was. Like, her face was like, oh, my God. And you know for, like, at least 1 second she had to be like, oh, my God, they're going to hate me for the fact that I won this award over Lily. Which I wanted Lily to win. I think majority of people wanted Lily to win. But Emma's performance in Poor Things I thought was really fantastic. So in terms of, like, award show snubs or whatever, I feel like that's a pretty low-level one.
Yeah.
That I think is, like, pretty forgivable. But, you know, still, Emma did get a lot of hate online. So it's well, what are you supposed to do? It's like, she's just kind of talented.
I feel like a bigger one was like when Jamie Lee Curtis beat Viola Davis for supporting actress.
It's
like Jamie Lee Curtis
huge.
Was barely in that movie.
Yeah. Barely in that movie and not the best supporting actress in that category.
And she didn't Stephanie Hsu not get nominated?
No, she got nominated
okay,
in law.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
She got nominated, but she did lose.
That's
and
crazy.
It was like,
that's crazy.
How?
What? Is it safe to talk about the politics of behind this? Like, I don't get it. Who is the Academy?
The Academy is mostly old people and old white people. Mm. A lot when Oscar So White happened, they let a lot of new people into the Academy, but it's still mostly white people.
Right,
like just people with money
No, it's like actors and directors and producers.
Okay.
It's like
and
the people that are getting nominated.
Yeah, I think they keep it secret.
Okay.
Exactly in the Academy.
Okay. Wow.
I don't think anyone knows. I don't think anyone knows.
And
wait a second.
And Amber and they do these articles that they've started doing these articles every year about like anonymous Oscar voters.
Yeah.
And their honest opinions on the movies. And sometimes they'll be like, yeah, I didn't see that movie. It's boring. And sometimes they'll be like, yeah, I don't understand why like Moonlight got so much, you know, credit. Like I enjoyed La La Land. And it's clearly like old white people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Wait, that's okay. This podcast has also like I have like been able to just be a fangirl again and then heal in that way. But it's also being educated because I was just telling Amanda before, I was like, there's a lot of stuff that I kind of don't know pop culture wise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I knew the Academy was a bunch of white people, but I didn't know if they were like execs or who.
Right.
Because I've never really sat down and focused enough to ask the question.
Right, yeah.
And
exactly.
So now here we are and I'm like, who is this? And that's really putting a lot of things together because it's like actors and directors.
Mm. Yeah, like all the artists.
Yeah.
And we don't know who they are.
We don't know who they are.
And they're they're old.
Yeah.
A lot of them are old. A lot of them are old. Like so, most of them are old because it's like they've been in the Academy since almost the beginning.
Right.
Okay.
And they have like type of movies that they like and they enjoy.
Right.
And some of them fit that and then some of them don't.
And that's why it's easy to make an Oscar bait movie.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because,
exactly.
You know, you get like a very respected white director, yeah. And then like
understanding.
A sad, heartbreaking true story, mm-hmm. And then like
sometimes
Bradley Cooper, and you put it all together.
Bradley Cooper wishes he was part of that.
I know
he can't get an Oscar for anything. I just
rewatched Jennifer Lawrence accepting her award when she fell at the Oscars in 2013 for the movie that Bradley Cooper was in. And he didn't win.
Do you think he's in it, though? Do you think that's because he's in it? Do you think that might be something?
What if
he's in the Academy and they're like...
No, he's definitely in the... Wait.
In terms of a member?
Yeah.
I don't know the difference between being in the Academy and voting for who wins. But I feel like...
I think all Academy members vote. Like
you
if
can
you're
vote
in,
for yourself.
You could vote for yourself.
But that would mean everybody's in then by that logic.
Right. So who?
I think a lot of people are.
Yeah.
There's a lot. The Academy's really big. You know, like when the slap happened, they took his Academy membership away.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But they were old white people.
I said most of them were old white people. But then they let a lot of new people in.
Okay. Yeah.
After
okay,
Oscar right. So White, they let a lot of like younger, like I feel like in that swoop, they like were like, yeah, like people like Shonda Rhimes, we added to the Academy, and people like random, you know.
Yeah. And Will Smith's, I guess, just like been around.
And then they kicked him out over that slap.
Yeah, and banned him from the Oscars forever.
Massive.
Forever? I thought it was 8 years.
Oh, what the? Oh my God!
I was about to say they upped it. They banned him forever.
Forever.
We're like, what?
That would be so crazy.
That's cruel.
Oh
first of all,
God.
I think 8 or whatever, 10 years.
10 was a lot.
I'm like,
that is
calm
a lot.
Down.
Like,
that's not the worst thing that has happened.
No, it's certainly not. And I feel like they were just, I think they're so, it's so like clubby in a way where they were just like, nothing can go wrong. Like, you can't have anything going wrong or like going sideways. And I think the fact that it was two black people too.
I
you
think
know
that
what
made
I mean?
It look worse for them to take them out.
Yeah.
I'm like, well,
that's
y'all...
what I think, right?
I know, because if it was two,
stand
I feel
proud.
Like, okay, hypothetically, if it was two white men, do we think that the one that slapped would have been stripped of his Academy status?
Oh, no, I think it would have been fine. I think that's what I'm saying.
What if it was like Mark Wahlberg, who has a history of violence?
Yeah, I think he would have been fine.
I think he would have been fine too. I think he would have been like, I'm going to therapy.
Right, yeah, exactly. I think they would have made a thing about like mental health.
Yeah.
Yes, because Will Smith made a thing about mental health. He got stripped for 8 years.
Yeah.
I just couldn't stand the conversation around that with like white people, especially white women.
Right, yeah.
Because they were like, he was trying to come to her rescue and she doesn't need a man to come to her rescue. And he's like upholding the patriarchy.
Right.
He's trying to defend his wife. And I'm like,
you don't know.
What are you talking?
Just
yeah. I'm like, what exactly is this conversation? Just the fact that it's even gotten to this point.
Is.
Yes, you
like,
are projecting. Yes.
Yeah.
Why has like, it even gotten to this point?
Exactly.
It was
a personal thing with two
yes.
old friends.
Yes, exactly. Right. You know what I mean?
And they were making a mess.
Yes.
You know?
And they were having problems. Like, let them solve it.
Oh my God.
Sorry, it was so funny because when it happened. We were over at our mom's house and Amber kept playing it over and over and
shocked,
over.
Honestly,
and she was like,
I was like,
wait, hold on a minute. She'd rewind it, go slow frame by frame. Like, what exactly happened?
Oh
yeah, because I was
God.
Like, what? I was trying to read if it was a joke. I was like, is this a bit? And
no,
I was like,
no, Amber, it actually happened. Stop. You're making me so stressed.
Oh my God.
I
was at a comedy show the night that it happened and it happened 5 minutes before the show started.
Oh, no.
And I looked on Twitter. I was like, just keeping up with the Oscars, yada yada, and then I see Will Smith snap. I'm like, this is clearly a joke. The
exactly.
way that's true. And then I saw the video. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then they were like, we're starting the show. I'm like, no way. I'm like looking up.
Like,
and then the comedians talked about it.
Yeah, because I haven't,
of course.
I haven't actually watched the Oscars for real. Like, sat down and watched it.
Yeah.
In entirety in years. Like, right. I remember
when it must have been 2012.
Wow. Oh,
I remember
God.
Seeing the Moonlight La La Land mix up thing.
Yep.
Like,
oh, I saw that, but I don't think I was watching it.
I was watching it, but I was like not paying attention too much. And then I was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
What's happening? So many things have happened at the Oscars.
I was watching it live, but I missed. I was paying attention so little that I missed that.
Yeah, we had to go back.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, something is off.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember if I was watching. No, I definitely was. I feel like I tune into every award show every year just because I love it. And I remember that year I hadn't seen most movies. I hadn't seen Moonlight at the time. I had seen.
So
I know. I still haven't seen
either.
I still have not seen Moonlight.
Oh, it's good, but I hadn't seen either at the time either.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still haven't seen La La Land.
La La Land is good. I mean,
Moonlight's good too.
I like
Moonlight,
the first act
beautiful.
And the last act of La La Land, but there's no songs in Act Two of La La Land.
Right.
And I'm like, hello, you're a musical.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I'm glad we're talking about La La Land because we were watching. They're the same writers or the people who did the lyrics for La La Land wrote Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh my God! I had no idea.
Yeah,
Dear Evan Hansen has some good music. No,
Dear Evan Hansen has great music.
It does.
Like I was like, this song is catchy. Yeah,
even though the movie to me on rewatch and at the beginning was very sinister, had a very sinister feel. Like I just couldn't live there.
I couldn't
live in that movie for 2 hours and 45 minutes or however long it is.
I was watching it at
work. It's too long.
Yeah. I was watching it at work on my phone, and I was just like, this is kind of crazy of me to be doing, to be watching it this at work.
Yeah.
And so I was watching it in pieces. Mm-hmm. And then not even because of the darkest part of the movie, the secrecy and the messiness kept creeping up. And I was like, and he's doing, this girl is going to be like, you all did this just to get near. And I just could see it coming. I still haven't finished it. And so I was just like, I'm turning this off.
I'm turning it off.
It's really stressful.
Like, I could not take it.
It's very, very stressful. I was watching it and now, okay, so here's my timeline with Dear Evan Hansen. Is I remember when Dear Evan Hansen came out, I was a freshman.
Is this a musical or
this
the
was the
movie?
Musical? Okay, this is the musical. Okay. Dear Evan Hansen, the musical came out when I was a freshman in college or like freshman sophomore in college.
For the first time ever?
For the first when it came out on Broadway.
I just didn't know it was that fresh.
What year was that?
2017.
I didn't know it was that new at all. Oh
yeah, I mean, they had worked on it since 2013 or 2015, I think. And then they did like a couple of showings off Broadway, like in Seattle or wherever they do Broadway tryouts and stuff. And then it moved to Broadway in the 2016-2017 season, I think those are the days. And Dear Evan Hansen. So here's what it was like in the musical theater world: was 2016 was Hamilton year. So many people were listening to musical theater more than ever. More than since 2011, there had never been a time where more people were listening to musical theater. And 2011 was when The Book of Mormon came out.
Okay.
So, like, since then, you know, Broadway was Broadway. It was separate, you know what I mean? And people who liked Broadway, and people who didn't were not investing in that. And then Hamilton came out, and then the Hamilton mixtape came out, and then, you know, it was all on TikTok. Like, you know, what? I don't remember if TikTok was even happening then, but
I don't think so.
I don't think it was. It was.
I don't know when TikTok came out.
It was
2020.
What was it?
But it was foolish when it first started. Everybody was like, what is this?
It was.
Yes,
it was,
I was
I feel
not
like
on
it was
TikTok.
Musical-y.
I was like, don't know
yeah,
about
it was
this.
Musical.ly.
Musical.ly.
It kept on coming up in between, like, snaps as ads. It'd
yeah.
Like, TikTok. And I'm like, no.
I'm like,
what is
that's
this?
A song
TikTok?
By Kesha.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I was like, who named this?
That is so insane to think about. Oh my God, that was a world without TikTok. I wonder how it spread. Well, it was
somewhere. How did it now?
I feel like it hit like mainstream for real. Forever in 2020, like during quarantine.
During quarantine,
no. TikTok. I'm talking about TikTok.
Hamilton too, though, because that was when they released the Hamilton Live.
Because I was like, ooh.
Yeah, Hamilton didn't get big until 2020.
I was like, we were up Hamilton's ass in 2017.
Oh my
I remember
God.
That clear as day.
Yeah. But Dear Evan Hansen came out, so more people listen to musical theater than ever. The next year, 2017, was when Dear Evan Hansen came out, and it was this musical that was about like anxiety and mental health, and the music is so good, and it's also pop music, so it's like awesome. Ben Platt's performance was like being hailed as like one of the best performances by a male actor on Broadway in decades. It was saying like it was so nuanced. The show itself, that character Evan Hansen, is so hard to play on stage because Ben Platt will forever be the only actor who will play the role of Evan Hansen 8 times a week on Broadway, which is just how much they perform. But they stopped doing that because he got vocal nodules or like vocal nodes or whatever it's called because the score is so hard to sing and you're singing it so often while you're crying and you're hitting like all these high notes or whatever. And he's in, you're in every song. If you're Evan Hansen, you're in every song except for 2.
That makes sense because, because just watching the movie, I was like, this is a lot of emotion here, and he's singing this song. That's kind of upbeat. That's because I bet, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Hey, so did you ever see it live?
I never saw it live. Okay. I've never seen it live. I wish that I could have, but I never saw it live. But I just listened to the sound, like to the music, just so often, to the cast recording so often, and you know, like, fell in love with it. It wasn't my favorite musical of that year, which is going back to awards. My favorite musical of that year was a musical called Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Yes.
But Evan Hansen was the one, you know what I mean? Everybody was listening to it. Waving Through a Window is like such a popular song. It even got radio play, which is crazy for like a musical besides Hamilton. Whoa. So it's like, it was so big. And then rewatching the movie, as soon as it turned on, I've known all the stuff about the movie. I've heard it's bad. I've, you know, Ben looks too old to play the role or whatever. I turned on the movie and I was like, there is nothing that can get me to hate this. I am going to love this musical because it has such a space in my heart.
That's so true. That's so cute.
I can't. It's like, I mean, I listened to that when I was 18 or 19 years old. And like watching Ben at like the Tonys and then just seeing clips of it online or whatever. And just like watching his performances and the way that he talked about it. Mm-hmm. It like inspired me to want to like perform and do theater. So I'm like, when I turned on the movie, I'm like, well, I simply won't be one of these people judging this.
I feel very similarly about like Into the Woods and the Les Mis movies.
Yes, yeah.
Because people like think, people like, the stage musical's so much better, these movies suck. And I'm like, there are definitely downsides. Like, there are things that I have critiques.
Yeah.
But you can't make me hate either of those movies.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, it's just too in my heart. Now, here's what I will say watching it. I think that it ran into the live live adaptation problem that like people are kind of saying about like the new Avatar: The Last Airbender live action is that sometimes the original medium is just the best way that this project can happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think Avatar gets better than being a cartoon. I don't think Evan Hansen gets better than being on stage.
Yeah.
When you take it to, I was like, this is already a very, very hard thing to adapt. It's going to be a very, very hard sell now than it was like 7 years ago because we're speaking more openly about mental health. Like, we had TikTok. Yeah. You know, battles back in the day when they was just not like...
That's what I was talking about. I was like, it kind of was giving PSA more than like... You know, just natural storytelling.
Yeah. Exactly.
I also was, it was kind of like vague what his like mental illness was.
Right.
So I was like, what's wrong with it? Like, not, no offense, but like, what's wrong with him?
But also, not to comment on a grieving period.
Yeah.
But he, I don't know how far I got in, but he didn't cry about this this situation once.
And so
I'm just like, maybe they're just cutting it too.
So,
but I was just like, this is weird because he's keeping up this lie and isn't that giving him more, I mean, he was throwing up, so maybe that was how it was coming out.
Yeah.
But I was just like, well, I feel like that would be added.
I think
in a movie version.
I think them changing it, like what they changed and what they brought to the movie that, you know, I think so many different like live adaptations of these things, like they take out a lot of the character, they take out a lot of the comedy, they take out a lot of like, they kind of, I think, want everything to be like a drama.
Yes.
So I think because of that, they're like, well, there can be like no jokes. There could be, we don't want this character, like Alana's character, who I think like Amanda Stenberg did a great job. But like, I think the way that the character was written on the stage version, she was a little bit, she was like more, I don't know, she was like more like flounce, go for like, it.
Yeah,
she was more upbeat, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And in this
I
one.
I can see that now. Yeah. I can see how that would be on stage because I haven't seen the musical, but mm-hmm. I can definitely see that because she probably was like, in the song where she's talking about masking.
Yes.
She probably is like giving a really upbeat kind of.
Yeah, I think that song was added though. That song wasn't in the
stage. This is my problem with movie musicals, and which is why I don't think that there's been a lot of good ones, is because the people that are trying to adapt them mostly want to take away everything that makes it a musical.
Yes.
Like, to make it, because it's a musical, they're like, oh, it's not going to be taken seriously, so I have to make it as serious as possible.
Exactly.
And I'm like, no, you need to have fun with the medium of it being a musical and like give the camp. And like, at its core, all musicals have to be a little bit of a satire.
Exactly. Because
it's not real life.
It's not real. Like, literally, these people are bursting into song. We know that it's insane. We know that it's insane.
Yeah.
But like, the thing was, like, seeing it on stage is like, we can have them all be serious or whatever, and then he stands up and sings a song at the table. But when it's like film, and they're like, everybody's sitting down, and we can't just sit and pretend that Ben Platt just randomly bursts in a song, and then we're all just
no, we can't.
Oh, there's been no problems. Yes. Yeah, like, oh, this is just a regular conversation. He does this
she's
all the time.
Looking at him with like just like full intention, just like this.
It's right.
As if he's like, talking, and I'm like you have to set up the language of the film in order for me to believe this.
Exactly.
Like, you need to do it with the angles, with the filmmaking, with the acting. Like, you have to set that up for me to understand why they... Which Chicago...
I was about to say!
Does
now, Chicago
really
does
well.
A good job.
Yes, yeah. And that's, like, the difference. I also think that Chicago itself lends itself to being a film more than Dear Evan Hansen does. Mm,
I haven't seen the musical. I just watched Chicago.
Just like the movie.
Yes.
And because... Well, I mean, like, Chicago, you know, Fosse, there's salt, like, all the dance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the dances, the music itself, you know, the storyline, I feel like that lends itself to being a film in a way that I think Dear Evan Hansen really just, well, connect. It feels almost insane to compare these, like, two things because one is so, like, in terms of these movies, leaps and bounds ahead of, like, the other. But, I don't know. I feel like Chicago gives itself a lot more, it's just iconic, and they're not afraid of the fact that they're a musical.
They're
not afraid of the fact, like, you know exactly what you're getting into when you're watching Chicago.
Same with, like, Mamma Mia, and the High School Musical movies, which Kenny Ortega was inspired by Bob Fosse, too.
Yes.
And you can tell that, like, Kenny Ortega knows how to make a musical.
Right.
Do you know what I'm thinking? I'm wondering if it's like, you know how a straight play is the scene, like some musicals have like very straight play type scenes,
mm-hmm.
and some are just mostly music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder if there's something like that. Like, is Chicago, because Chicago's scene, when I was watching it, I was like, I can see how this scene would be on stage without the music. But then I'm thinking of like In the Heights, where it's like, that's mostly music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's kind of, it's a different tone to the movie.
That book, like the In the Heights, like, book, even the dialogue is written a little bit musical. Like, there's a rhythm to all the dialogue,
even in
between the songs.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And Hamilton's all music. Hamilton's all
that
music.
That was my question.
And Les Mis, that's all
Les
Mis
is also, it's also mm-hmm. sung through. I can't remember if Chicago would be classified as.
Like, because do they have, like, their full scenes and then they go into a song?
I think that they do. I also haven't seen Chicago on stage.
I don't think I have either.
I haven't seen Chicago.
Oh, look
on stage.
At that.
But the scenes that are just dialogue in the movie of Chicago are like so, like, you can just, I don't, it's like really good filmmaking.
Right.
And it's also really good musical world building.
I think to make a good movie musical, you have to both love movies and musicals.
Yes, you can't.
You can't do one.
Prefer one
of
the other.
Yeah. And I feel like some movies love the fact that they're a movie, but they don't like that they're a musical. I think, like, the new Mean Girls kind of had that sense where I'm why are we hiding Renee Rapp from Renee Rapp?
Yep.
We can't hide Renee Rapp.
I'm happy for the boy, but why did they cast someone who couldn't sing for Aaron Samuels if Aaron Samuels sings? That's weird.
You know what's crazy about that show is that he doesn't really sing a ton on the stage version either. He has one part where he like duets with Regina, but for the most part, for the most part, he doesn't really sing. He doesn't have his own song or anything like that.
Sorry for the call out, young man. I'm so happy that you got the part. I was just asking.
You know, I mean, that's so real. Well, I think the thing with, like, the Mean Girls movie was, I watch it, this is just, I'm coming from a place where, like, I just love musicals, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, I had known about Mean Girls prior, and I was, like, I was kind of going into it ready to judge it pretty harshly. I was like, I don't think this is going to be good or all that. I was pleasantly surprised because they had a ton of fun. The actors, I feel like in terms of the direction of the movie, they understood that they were a musical, but the marketing didn't. No. And that's what was confusing. I didn't understand. Why did they lead the audience to, why were they playing an Olivia Rodrigo song in the commercials? Let Renee rap belt.
Yeah, they should have had Meet the Plastics in the background.
Yes,
because
exactly.
That song is beautiful.
That song is beautiful. Her,
I know, and Renee so rap is, she's like popping off. She's a singer. Like, she's famous for being
her
a singer, so let her sing.
Why are we hiding? I can't understand what that decision was. So I feel like the marketing of it really just didn't do itself any favors.
No.
I'm like,
no.
Let these
they
people
keep
know
well, you trying know to hide the fact that things are musicals. I'm like, okay, let the children understand what musicals are.
Right.
Again.
Yes,
like,
please.
Show them. But I also, okay, the marketing on Paramount Plus, for because it's coming out, that's not an ad, but it's coming out, and they put Lindsay Lohan in there, and I'm like, the one bit that she's in there,
I'm like,
why'd you put that in the commercial? Is that
like
how bad it's doing?
I'm scared of the fact that it's like a musical. Like,
it's
it's so insane because I think like the marketing for Mean Girls could have been so awesome considering the fact that it's a musical adaptation of the musical, which is an adaptation of the movie, and that's so funny. Like, just let that be the commercial.
Yes.
Like, isn't this an insane, crazy thing? But now watch Renee rap belt, and so you understand why we do this.
Yes.
You know, like, you get where we're coming from here.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. Ooh, I have no idea why they did
that. Because I didn't know why
they
made the movie. But that, like, if they came at it that way, because she was Regina George
on
Broadway.
Yeah, she was.
They
should have
marketed it that
role,
way.
But, yeah, they should have marketed.
That was her breakout role. I think it was just like, yeah, it was, because people just thought it was a remake. They were like, why are they remaking Mean Girls?
Exactly.
And I'm like,
because
it's a musical. And they're like, I don't even know that it's a musical. You know, like,
they didn't know it was a musical. I've seen some people that didn't know the musical when they got in and they were like gasping
every time that
singing.
They started singing
the same thing
like,
with Wonka
like, oh
same
gosh.
Thing with Wonka Wonka's
oh.
a musical
Wonka's a musical and
Wonka's
they're scared
and they didn't say it in the trailer and I was like as soon as Timothée Chalamet starts singing people are going to get up and
they're
leave.
Gonna be That's, upset
that movie like, was so interesting to me
dang I didn't see Wonka I need to see
it is
I
crazy.
Have a
crazy.
Confession
it's insane
I have a confession I've never been attracted to Timothée Chalamet until for some reason I saw him in Wonka. And I don't know what it is.
What? Wonka was the
I don't know.
Chalamet awakening?
And I am not attracted to him outside of it. I don't know what it is.
Oh my God. That is so funny.
I walked out of there. I was like, but he was kind of cute in it.
What?
Moving on. Like, and everyone's roasting him,
that.
And I'm like, I don't know, guys.
That's hilarious. I need to see Wonka. Oh,
this
my
is
God.
So. Amber, that is too, like, one slur coded from the Lorax. When everyone on Tumblr was obsessed with the one slur, like, it's giving that.
Oh, he was cute. He was cute, too.
No, I liked one slur. Also, I have been attracted to Timothée Chalamet, and I wasn't not. I wasn't less attracted to him in Wonka. I just think that that's so hilarious that that's the only
time.
That's the only form of
Timothée
Chalamet.
Yeah, because I'm like, he
accept.
Has so many roles where he'd be more attractive.
I don't
know.
Just saw
nothing.
Dune 2 last night.
Dune 2 was great. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's crazy.
Oh, man.
I need to
I'm
see
seeing
incredible.
It again tomorrow.
That's amazing.
What?
I need to see it again. I need to see it again.
I want Dune to come to the big screen.
I know. I wanted him to re-release it because I need to be like
I've never
screamed
seen it.
I think they did for a... Wait.
I think they did in January, but I missed it.
Oh, I missed that.
Dang, yeah.
Well, darn.
They should have put it back. Like, I saw Oppenheimer in theaters this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked it. Mm. I don't think that it's my taste, though. Like, I
That's
think that it's
I
a really
say.
Good movie, and you can clearly, like, tell that Christopher Nolan's a filmmaker, which I haven't seen very many movies recently that I'm like, oh, my God, this is filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
But it's Christopher Nolan. Like, he knows how to make a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I really liked everything. I don't think that it focused on the things that I was emotionally interested in.
Exactly.
And so it didn't hit me emotionally. It hit me logically. Yeah. I was like, this is a great thesis.
Yes.
I didn't feel anything.
I was like, this is dope. I walked out of there and I'm like, man, that was crazy. I don't care about the motherfuckers more than I did the first time, like when I walked in. But like, that's awesome.
Exactly.
Like, the performances were awesome.
Those movies that I feel like I need to watch on Hulu or whatever they come on, because I need to like rewind and watch, because I need to watch like every second, and I will get
it. Was like kind of a like, okay. I got all the white men mixed up.
Yeah.
Except for the ones that I knew, like Josh Peck.
Yep.
And Alex Wolff.
Yep.
And the guy from Sky High. I was like, what are all these white boys from my childhood doing in here?
I did not know they were in there. Here's the thing.
Me neither. I gasped every time.
Those people, they didn't play characters to me.
No.
When I saw them on screen, I was like, oh, that's Josh Peck. Oh, that's Alex. Right. That's Alex Wolff. They said, oh, yeah, you can call me professor. I was like, I'm just throw that right out the window. I don't know who you are. I don't know what the difference is.
Josh Peck.
But yeah, I'm like, that's Josh Peck. Josh Peck is pressing the button.
I didn't know he was still
exactly
acting.
Yeah, you know.
I didn't know he was still doing projects.
Who,
is,
Josh
yeah.
Peck?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, me neither. I mean, that's the type of role that a few years ago Austin Butler would have been in there. You know, like if that movie was made a few years ago, Austin Butler would have been there.
Yeah.
Because he was in, the way that he like broke into like big movies was by being in that Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
And it was like all of us were like, yeah, that's that bitch that we grew up with.
Yeah, exactly.
And all the adults were like, who is this interesting new young man? And I'm like, that is Miley's
episode?
Date from Hannah Montana. He's James from Zoe 101. Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure.
Oh right. Aliens in the Attic.
Vanessa Hudgens' ex-boyfriend.
That's so true.
But he was good. He was good in Dune.
Oh, he was amazing.
He was so scary.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Wow.
I love
him.
He's like his he's coming into his
He and Kiki Palmer, like.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, what I'll say about, like, I always love when, like, somebody who always plays a heartthrob plays just a freak. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, let's just be strange. You know, because did you see The Boy and the Heron?
Yes.
Robert Pattinson did excellent. And
my God.
Like,
I'm wearing my Robert shirt.
That's
real. Oh, my God.
You can just tell he's like, I'm tired of them making me the pretty boy in these movies. Let me be a freak. Let me be a weirdo.
He's always wanted
to.
Coming
out. I was like...
Amber didn't know it was him until after the movie.
No.
Yeah, I mean, because his voice.
You can't tell.
You can't tell. I read the credits and it was like.
Yeah.
You cannot hear him. I love that, like, he
went for it.
They gave him a write-up of the character, and they were like, we want to know if you have a take on this, and he sent it back right away, and they were like, well, that's a perfect voice. And then he apparently, like, recorded all of his stuff, like, in 3 days for, like, the whole movie.
He's so interesting. He is a peculiar man.
He's one of my favorite actors.
Like, he is.
I like the choices he makes for his career.
Me too.
I'm just thinking about his interview where he was like, I just love to lie. I'll just lie every once in a while in an interview just to see what y'all believe. You're like, you're batshit.
He's the one to do that,
He's the one who also, like, had that stalker who, like, he was like, all right, I'll take you out on a date. And then the stalker left. Like, you're literally so boring.
Oh my God, he's like,
all you do is talk about your own life.
I can't. He's like, who is this man? And now he's a father.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He's having a child.
Yeah.
Good for him. Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
He's a father.
Shout out to him.
Wait, I have a question that is completely off topic.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see a movie in the theaters, like, for a birthday party when you were younger?
Oh yeah,
probably. I certainly don't remember what they are. I mean, they were probably like kids' movies.
Yes,
I saw Twilight for the first time on a birthday party.
Interesting.
And I would not have seen it otherwise.
Wow,
isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. That's insane.
I was like in my little emo phase. Huh. And not knowing that Twilight was gonna make me more emo, but I was like, all the girls in the grade loved it, and I was kind of like getting off my Disney Channel phase where I was like, well, I don't like anything the other girls like anymore. And so I was like, shut up, everyone, stop talking about it. Like, we all haven't watched Twilight or read it. And then when I saw it opening night.
Yeah. That's insane. That's so funny.
Who Are They? The song by Carter Burwell started playing while the Cullens walked in, and then Robert Pattinson walked in. I said, actually, like, you're gonna need to tell me who that is. Like, actually, like when Bella's like, who's he? I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right.
Who the fuck is he?
That's exactly right. Who is he?
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
And it was over for me.
Oh my God. I didn't see Twilight when I was a kid. I only saw it very recently. I think I saw it in 2021.
And what did you think?
That was the first time. I thought it was awesome. Yeah. I thought it was so cool.
It's just ridiculous.
I thought it was so insane. I was like, this is great. This is so great. They lean into every weird, crazy like thing that I feel like some people, I see why some people would call it stupid, but I think in my opinion that you're not fun.
Yeah, it's like definitely a cult following for sure.
Right,
like,
you know, like
when Bella breaks her back, like there was a point, there was a point in time where my friends and I in college, we wound it like three times because we were like, what is she?
Right.
What is she doing? We're like, do it again, do it again.
I can't.
I literally think like I just love stuff like I love when people lean into things. You know what I mean? Like let's just like this is an insane story or whatever, and this
it
is gonna be
crazier.
Madame Web reminded me of Twilight.
Yeah.
I was like, if I was 12, I'd be eating this up.
Yo, say, I was dying in the theater.
I loved that.
Web.
The diner
oh
scene.
My God, that shit cracked me up. When she like was pouring the milk for the cat, and the cat came in, and she looked at, put down the milk, and then looked at the cat and said, oh, I guess we're just two strays trying to make it in this world. I bust out laughing and could not stop for 10 minutes. I had to start talking to myself, and I'm like, there's at least or at most three other people in this theater, and they are trying their best to enjoy this film. I need to stop. I need to calm down.
That wasn't a cue.
I was crying.
Oh my God.
I couldn't stop laughing. There were definitely moments like that for me where I was like, why can't I stop? Like,
it was so 2003.
It was so 2003.
I loved
the voiceover, the dubbing was terrible.
Yes.
I'm like, wow, how did this happen?
I just felt so confused. I was like, did you see that tweet, speaking of Twitter, of where it was like, my sleeping app thought I was dreaming while watching this movie. Like, it tracked
my mind.
Dreaming.
My brain went to such a strange place that my...
Oh my God.
Yeah, because that movie is trippy. It is.
No, it is. And I was really high, too.
I was saying, I had taken an edible and I was there.
Yes.
I was having a good time.
They have those billboards on the streets where it's like the Madame Web billboard, and then you pass it a couple times and you see it again. And I saw it the night after and I was like,
deja vu.
I was like, something's happening.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, wait, didn't we just see that? And he was like, maybe it's because of the movie and it's deja vu. Like, and I was like, I wouldn't be surprised.
That was good. Yo, that's good.
They
that's
threw
good
a
marketing.
Lot of money at that.
They did.
Yeah,
they sure did.
Billboards are like $10,000.
I mean, that movie had like a mass. That movie, I think, had around the same budget as Dune, too.
Mm. No.
Damn.
I think it did. I think it had the same, and that's really the difference between like caring about a project and then just
and
not
spending
really
time on it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know,
I say once again, I want Marvel to just take a break.
I do too. Yeah,
take a break.
Oh my God, that was beautiful, and I'm glad that y'all like synced. I wish that I was still like clued in so that I could have joined y'all for that. I haven't listened to musical theater enough. Oh my God, it's been too long.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I love learning, like I was saying earlier, about culture, because I just had never seen Chicago. Mm. And so I kept on hearing these songs, and I was like, oh, this is from Chicago.
Right. That's the best part.
I know this song.
That's how I was when I watched Rent, the movie.
Yeah.
I need to see Rent, too.
I was like, oh.
Rent's good.
I knew that the Minute song was from Rent.
There's like,
but everything else, I was like, I have heard these songs.
Yeah.
Right, there's like six musicals that I need to watch so that I can get every reference ever.
Right, exactly.
And it's like Funny Girl.
Oh, you know what? I haven't seen Funny Girl.
Neither
Funny
have
Girl
I.
I've just seen the movie.
But isn't that where Don't Rain on My Parade is from?
Yes.
And then what else? Something else.
Chicago. Cabaret.
Cabaret. What does she say?
What is this? What is
This time? That one. That one's from Cabaret.
What is the song? What is Being Alive from?
It's from Company.
Company. I have not seen Company.
I've never seen Company,
God,
and I don't think
Company.
About Company.
That's a Sondheim. Is that Sondheim?
What is that?
That's Sondheim.
Yeah, Sondheim. So, okay, my two favorite musicals, like my top three musicals are In the Heights, Sweeney Todd, and Into the Woods.
Oh, you love Sondheim.
So I love Sondheim.
You love
Sondheim. So I need to see Company.
Yeah, you need to see Company. I don't know if Company has a movie.
I know exactly. That's what that's what it is. It's like Into the I was in Into the Woods in high school, and so I watched the like live taping of like the original cast.
Yeah.
And then the movie came out, but then like I saw Sweeney Todd in middle school, and it made me want to make movies.
Oh,
like,
wow!
That's so. It's what's crazy is that like I don't just want to make musicals, but a musical. And High School Musical, honestly. I want to be Kenny Ortega.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to be...
High School Musical is great. You know, I think people really, like, sleep on the Disney musical
yes,
movies.
They're high quality.
But they're great.
They're really, really good.
Really. Lemonade Mouth was at a very large part of my childhood. Like, I loved Lemonade Mouth.
I need to rewatch
that. I need to rewatch that, because I haven't seen it over and over again, but I remember liking it when
it came
out.
I know the music is good, and I know that it's, like, stayed.
Yeah.
It's resonated.
It's been around. I just, yeah. I mean, it's just such a good movie. And, yeah, I like, Kenny Ortega is incredible in the sense that, like, he just knows how to make movie music. Yeah. Like,
he knows
I'm
what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, I'm shocked that he hasn't, or maybe he hasn't. I'm just like not clued in because I haven't really been checking on. I haven't really been checking on musicals. Yeah,
or checking it on Kenny Ortega.
but yeah, I mean, like he knows what he's doing. You watch the High School Musical like movies, and you're like, oh my god, like these are some of the best movie musicals to have come out. Like of the last
the placement of everyone in there and the choreography is insane.
It's incredible.
He directed a lot of iconic music videos in the 80s. Like, he directed Physical by Olivia Newton-John. And wasn't that one of, like, the first music videos?
Wow. I don't know.
Let me look this up real fast. Our mom is always like, this music video is history. But, like, he got his start directing music videos, which makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Because, like,
there
are other directors that are not, that do not direct movie musicals, but like David Fincher and Paul Thomas Anderson, two of my favorite movie directors, also started in music videos.
Interesting. And so many people do music videos.
It's like a rhythm that you learn. Like,
you started with music videos.
I started with music videos
too.
Wow. Okay. So
look at that.
Here we go. All right. Like, that's 20. Oh my God. I can't wait for your career.
Right.
Because people are going to be talking about you.
Yes.
Like,
they're gonna be like, you know, and Amanda has started out making music videos.
Music videos.
You know?
When she first 12. Music video was Sneaker Night by Vanessa Hudgens. Starring me.
Oh my god. Awesome.
Wait, that's insane.
Oh, this is saying the first music video was something called The Little Lost Child in 1894.
Amanda! What in the world?
No, that's not a real. That's
the. That's not the truth.
Yeah, what? That can't be the truth. Even if that is the truth, like, that don't count. That don't count. That's not even the same type of, like, video.
Medium.
Yeah, that's not even the same type of, like, medium.
A little old child from 1894?
1894, they weren't watching shit.
No, man.
They weren't watching. It's got to be the first music video that was on a screen. They didn't know what screens were.
Oh, my God.
They did not know what screens were back then.
I feel like Paula Abdul had the first music video.
Oh, I can see that. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
The video was featured on VH1's Pop-Up Video and was the first video to air on Beavis and Butthead.
What? What was?
Wait,
the Lotto Lost shot?
No.
I was like, why was Beavis and Butthead involved in that? And how long has Beavis and Butthead been?
100 years later.
I was like,
in 99.
What? They were doing Beavis and Butthead in the 1800s?
Yeah, I don't know what. I have no idea what. It must have been like
love
an
Olivia
early.
Newton
it came
John.
Out in the. It came
dang.
Out
I haven't.
In 1981.
I haven't seen Olivia.
I don't know much about her, but I'm just. literally just Sandy.
Because Olivia Newton John is.
Sandy.
Sandy. Mm. Sandy. And that's Foot.
Greece.
No, Greece.
That's Greece.
Have you seen Greece?
No. I haven't seen Greece. I haven't seen Footloose.
Greece?
That era
Greece is
of musicals,
really outdated.
Greece is a good. It's a good movie
it's
musical.
Really good.
Yeah.
My test for like if it's a good movie and a musical together is like how are they shooting the dancing?
Yes.
And can I see all the
right,
moves?
You're right. You're right. You're right. That's it.
And the worst place to watch a singer perform. Good Morning America.
Oh yeah.
They come in with the swooping.
They do.
And they cut away to the audience. They come away with the swiping. Yeah. I'm saying
trying to
this
show the
is
hype.
Not
because that's because that's
an action movie.
I know why they're doing that now. And I know that and I know why they're doing that now.
Okay.
This is not confirmed. This is just my theory and I think that this is the truth.
Okay. All right.
I'm
ready. I'm going to believe it. Whatever you say, I'm going
to
believe it.
I think it's because they're like trying to show the hype and they're like this person has a lot of hype around them, go buy their CDs.
Yeah.
But it's so dead and quiet in there because it's the morning time and they can only fit like 12 fans in there.
Wait, am I thinking of the Today Show then? I'm thinking when they do the outside ones.
Yes, that too, though.
Isn't that Good Morning? That's Good Morning America.
Good Morning America. All of it. The outside.
Wait, no, all of the New York morning shows, I think that's what the answer is.
I think they just outside. I think some of them just go outside randomly.
I think it's to build the hype. I think it's like, look at the screaming.
Like, girl, I need to see her dance.
I want
to see what these moves are. I tried to watch Fifth Harmony. I remember getting really frustrated watching Fifth Harmony on it because I was like, I cannot see all five girls.
Yeah, and I cannot
see what they're doing.
Yeah, and I'm trying to learn together.
And are they together? And I'm trying to learn the dance moves.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I found
and like, you know what movie didn't do well? Aladdin.
I forgot about Aladdin.
Did y'all watch
the
live action Aladdin?
Oh.
Did you watch that?
No, I did not. I did not watch any of those live action.
Where Will Smith was the genie?
Yeah. I remember when I came out, I was like, this doesn't interest me.
No.
I was like, this isn't for me.
I can't remember when I watched it.
It was a quarantine watch for me.
Oh, was that what? Okay, I cannot remember when I watched it, but I remember that the genie scared me.
Right.
He is scary, but it's like, it's something that like you can't look away from.
Okay. I don't love Disney musicals. Too peculiar.
No,
I
don't.
I don't like the live action ones.
I watched the Lion King live action
you
one.
You did? Are the animals
one of the
singing?
highest moments of my life. And I was terrified the whole time. It was so scary.
Yeah.
The animals look so real.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't have any emotions because they're animals.
Right. That's what I was saying. Watching Little Mermaid, you know, when The Lion King came out, I was like, I'm not going to see this because I know that I'm not going to like it. But, and that's not even has nothing to do with the quality of the movie or whatever. I was just like, this is just not going to be of interest to me.
Yeah.
But, like, I saw that happening and I was like, this is a plan that they have where they're going to start with this and they are going to get better through time. And I think that The Lion King had to walk so that Little Mermaid could run.
Okay.
Because... Mm-hmm. I think by the time they got to Little Mermaid, they made the animals look less frightening.
Okay.
They were able to combine them with humans.
But you some need to of do those animals were frightening.
They were a little bit.
In Little Mermaid? Yeah. No, they were still frightening because they should be cartoons.
Because they should be cartoons.
This is where we go back to something that's just better as cartoons.
Yes. Or if you're going like, to, you must. It was an actual crab. Like, I was like, this isn't what Sebastian looks
that's
like.
A
that's
real
a
crab.
Real crab.
And a real
yeah,
fish.
That's a real crab. That's a real crab and a real fish.
Like
yeah.
That bird.
The bird.
And that bird.
But they were real.
Oh,
were
that's real. What I was going to say earlier is like now that we have Lin-Manuel moments where it's like when the bird starts rapping, you're like, okay.
That's what
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he went straight to Disney. But you know what's so insane? It's like he went straight to Disney after Hamilton and literally has he is the entirety of their sound.
Yeah, he is.
He is the entirety of
I mean, he's like the new Alan Menken.
Yes, like, exactly.
Which was one of his like big heroes, which he was a fan of.
I was about to say he just is living his dream.
He was an English teacher.
Now
he
this is related to a question that Amber wrote down is that there are certain people, and I feel like they're all musicians or in movie musicals that like the public just decides to hate.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yep.
James Corden.
Yeah, James Corden.
Like Camila Cabello.
Yep.
Like
yep.
These people, and like we can, I don't really, we're not a celebrity pop culture podcast, and like I don't really like getting into like, oh, I think this person is like this, and I think this person is like that. I think that it's fun to celebrity gossip amongst your friends. But I don't feel like it's beneficial to society to like publicize
and
platform like when you hate a person that you don't know.
I'm with you on that.
Me too.
But I personally, number one, love Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I do too.
Me too.
I couldn't even say it. Yeah. I love Lin-Manuel Miranda. I've met him. He was so nice.
Wow.
Like I met him while we were on a tour of NYU.
Wow.
He like was doing a performance of some Hamilton songs that hadn't been before Hamilton. And I was like, family, we're going up. We're going up to the Heights to meet him. And he was lovely. I like In the Heights meant a lot to me when I was a freshman. Hamilton also meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. Camila Cabello was a very big part of my queer awakening.
Absolutely.
And I still follow all her music. I listen to every single song that she releases. Mm. And you know what? I liked James Corden in Doctor Who.
Okay.
Oh,
that's the first time I ever saw him. And you know what?
Okay.
I liked a couple of his Tony's hosting, and I think he's overexposed, but there were some moments.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes.
In the nature of not talking about people we don't like, I'm going to move on from that. I'm not gonna say anything.
What I'll say.
No,
is,
I did like James Corden on some. Tony hosting.
I think
awesome.
We all.
I loved his Tony hosting.
I think we all. There are times. I think with everybody that is made fun of. Only there are times where people are like, nah, I wouldn't have made fun of them for that, but they're not gonna speak up.
Exactly.
And so there have been times where I'll do mine.
Yeah.
Because we listed them. Mm-hmm. For James Corden, I think it's a really I don't know if he thought of this actually, but mm-hmm. I think it's a really good idea to have carpool karaoke.
I also thought carpool karaoke was really cool.
Yeah,
I love carpool karaoke.
That's a good idea.
He came up with that. He talked about it on David Tennant's podcast, of which I listened to every episode.
Okay.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
There you go.
And he talked about the fact that he and one of his producers came up with it.
Camila Cabello.
Oh, okay.
I wanna say
well, good on there.
I want to say that I was also a Fifth Harmony fan. I don't think I would ever call myself a harmonizer. I never identified
as that. Me neither.
Okay.
I wouldn't claim that. I don't think I knew or was as invested in their lives as much as the harmonizers.
I never identified as a harmonizer.
Interesting.
I just identified as gay.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. I know that's right.
They're all gay.
All of them. Also, I have to say, like, I love all of them. Like, I was also obsessed with Lauren and No Mercy.
Oh, I thought you meant all the fans.
No, all the Fifth Harmony members.
Yeah, so I had my Fifth Harmony phase. I love Reflection.
Mm.
And also, I love a lot of her solo songs.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for Normani's first album.
I'm hyped for Normani's album.
Motivation, I'm still playing. Like, I still play it.
Motivation's one of my favorite songs.
All the time.
And that's a really good music video.
Yeah. Is so, see,
it's really
get people
good.
That know how to direct music, like, hardcore choreography.
Yeah.
Because I could see, you could put Normani in a movie musical.
Yeah. Yeah,
someone
absolutely.
Go call her team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it is.
And then Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Boom.
I just love him.
I do love him, and I think that there are two ways that someone can become memeable,
mm-hmm.
and it's either they are deemed as like big-headed or like cringy because like they, I don't know, are seemingly acting for the camera or saying something for the camera or the response, and people pick up on that. Or they're very easy to impersonate.
Yes.
And so I think that because he's so impersonable.
Yeah, he is.
Who,
Lin? Poor dear Lin. Yeah, he's got such a cadence about him, and he has a style, and so people, it just became a meme to impersonate him that him actually being and living, people laugh at now.
Right, exactly.
And I'm just like, this poor English teacher is just living his dream.
And he's a and also, he's like a core millennial. Too.
Yes, and he is cringy. I mean, he does it to himself.
He does. You know, but it's so earnest. It's so earnest.
He's just a dad.
You know, he is. Like, you know, it sucks. It's unfortunate. I do see why he's memeable. And I will, the meme of him where he's like, looks like he's about to pee. That's funny.
I will not defend all of it. Like, you're being goofy.
Yeah. Like, you're being goofy, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I
wouldn't say that that's a knock against him.
His character.
Yeah, right. I think he's a pretty earnest person. I think he just lived his life regularly, and I just don't think he understood that doesn't fly on the internet. Yeah.
Right.
he's just so prolific and dedicated and hardworking.
He does not miss. Yeah. That's what nobody can say. He can't write music.
Right. And his style was infectious. And so now it's everywhere. And we're like, oh, this has been Lin-Manuel Miranda 5. But it's just like kind of like, that's not his fault for being so
exactly
great. Iconic, honestly.
Yeah. Like, he's iconic.
Yeah. It's like that. It was so insane. Like, in watching him come, because I had just like gotten into theater major. I had been doing theater for 2 years when Hamilton came out. After that, I'm like, you watch, this guy was a superstar, you know what I mean? Like, in the theater world, to like all of these like kids, like, he was everything. It was like, nobody's gonna be able to touch Lin-Manuel Miranda. And then when he went to Disney, it was like, oh my god, it's gonna get even bigger. Like, this is our guy forever. And then it was like one day on the internet, it was like people were laughing at him, and I was like, surely that won't last. That'll just be like a day thing. And then I never saw him post anything again.
Yeah.
I was like,
I think he deactivated his Twitter.
It just turned to just like, now we just hate seeing this guy.
Right,
and it's
exactly.
Like,
I just don't honestly believe
in slippery slope.
Posting anything online that you wouldn't say directly to that person's face.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Very
I'm like,
much
why
so.
Do you need to say
this. Like live tweeting like an award show. And it's like, okay, if you think her dress is ugly, keep that to yourself or your group chat.
Or your group. Share it with the homies, but like why are you telling it like why do you put it on?
Everyone
why are you tagging the person?
Don't let them see.
Right, exactly.
Like that's just kind of rude.
Yeah, you know, but I think I don't know, people just love that. People love the ability, because I think in real life you can't really be mean to somebody's face and like tell them even though you want to be. And I think so often people are like, I wish that I could just say this shit to their face. Yeah. And now you can. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But now you not only can, but they don't have to see you.
Yeah. Oh my God. Just say it to them. Can we talk about Viola Davis did the thing?
Oh, the girl. Oh my God. Girl.
And isn't she so talented?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That I mean, that's girl. Another Broadway person. And that's the thing. It's just these theater people.
That was the Tonys, living, right?
Or that was the BAFTAs. She was hosting the BAFTAs.
But you know what?
I mean, and that's
everybody is cringes at theater kids in school and yeah, now exactly. They do in
all these people are just theater kids, so in a world where once they leave the theater, they're so cool in the theater world, and then once you leave the theater, it's like, oh, people don't like me.
No, people thought that was crazy.
I think this is getting to like such a real point. Is like people really, really, really like what cringe is really just like discomfort with earnestness.
Yeah,
is what cringe is.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And
exactly.
There's nobody more earnest than theater kids.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, y'all. Like it's like the public is like, theater kid. I should have known. I'm like, what do you think Hollywood is?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Like it's full of theater kids.
It's full of theater kids.
Full of theater kids.
But they just hide it because they know where they are.
And also, and also like
they have a PR team.
You have to be earnestly in love with your craft if you're gonna be good at it.
Mm. Right.
Like
exactly.
Regardless of how famous you get or how successful you get at it, you have to be very earnest about it if you want to be successful. Like if you want to be good at it.
Yeah.
Like, and so sometimes like people like will memeify like Kristen Stewart interviews because she's being so earnest.
Yeah.
Mm. Or like, what's her name? Victoria Pedretti from you and like Haunting of Hill House. Like she's super earnest.
Yeah.
And I really admire it, but like people like don't always vibe with it. And so then they take to the internet to make fun of it. And I'm like, I think that's what being a fangirl is, like just really being like genuinely passionate and like not like caring that people think that that's uncool, because it's like I don't know what it is, this like aversion to like other people
enjoying something. I feel like people maybe they don't have those things in their life and they're like, I don't understand how someone could care this much that they don't care if they look stupid
have it and they're like, I would never talk this much about X, Y, and Z. Why are you doing it?
And it's like, well, because people are different and some things affect people's lives differently than it affects others, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I would rather live in a world where people, where things do affect you to the point where you want to talk about it or be so passionate about something that it would make you look ridiculous.
Yes.
But that we embrace that rather than, you know, kind of being mean about it to try to suppress it or whatever. I don't know.
Yes.
It just, I feel like that's kind of where like the death of Arna, like not to get like so super deep or try to like act like it's philosophy or whatever, but like at some point in time, as like years and years go on, people are gonna be less earnest because they don't want to get made fun of,
right?
You know what I mean? And like as we become more global and everybody, like the world gets smaller because of the internet, it's like at what point in time do we start to celebrate that people care?
About something. Yeah, I feel like there was like a spike in the 2010s, and then people started making fun of people caring again.
Yeah.
So now everyone's like going back into it.
I think millennials cared about a lot.
Yeah.
Millennials cared about a lot. And I think that the opposite, the next gen, like a Gen Z coming after that, is like looking up and being like, y'all are annoying. You know what I mean? And granted, like sometimes they are, but like, I don't know. It's not all the time. It doesn't like have to be that serious.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? And it's also different. It's like a different humor. Like I feel like millennials will nerd out about something. And I only say that phrase because they'll like say something about a topic and then they'll go, sorry for nerding out.
Yeah.
And it's like, you made that weird. But
right.
I just feel like you were coached to do that.
Yeah,
or, like,
yeah.
Conditioned to do that.
Exactly. I think it just goes like generation to generation, because like Gen X, we all are like, so closed off, and like they're probably, you know, they don't love anything outwardly.
Yeah.
And I think millennials were kind of fighting against that when they were younger, and they were like, we're gonna love things so much, it's crazy. And then I think Gen Z comes around, and then we're like, okay, well, we're going to love a little less. Yeah. we're going to love in a way that everyone loves how we love it, you know? And yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. That's, you know, I'm hopeful. Right. I probably the next generation will be like, you know, they'll love stuff even greater than, you know, anything.
I do wonder how the next generation's going to read.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to be like really like counterculture, like counter technology. Like I've been like hearing about like these pods of teenagers that like just don't have phones mm-hmm. and like don't want to have technology anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're like so like over it. And I mean, I would be too. If I had all these different social media platforms in high school, I would have been like,
this is a lot.
Y'all, like, what are we doing?
As a grown adult, like being on these apps, like has a very negative effect on my mental health.
Yes.
And I know exactly where it's coming from. It's like I feel worse about myself because I care about comments, I care about numbers, I care about all of these things. I can't imagine being 12, like 12, 13 and actually caring, you know. I was in high school when Snapchat dropped, which I think was like kind of the beginning of like social media the way that it is today.
Yeah.
And I remember when stories came out and I was like, I want 90 people to view my story. Right. Whatever. And like it never got to that point because I didn't know 90 people, but like it was so cool to be able to like chase that, you know. But then like as time goes on, it became easier to get that, and then those numbers just keep going up and it never becomes enough, and then it's like if you don't reach that then you're a failure and it sucks, and it's like I feel like people really are going to start to reject that, and like also separately just the rise of AI and the AI being
that's
bad.
Getting scary. that's about to get out of hand.
Twitter was invented when I was 13, and so like, and Facebook had been around, like Facebook, MySpace, and I had a Facebook, and I remember wanting my friend count on Facebook to be high.
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm like, but I don't physically know that many people.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, and I'd be like, how do these people have over 1,000 friends on Facebook?
Right.
Like, I don't even know that
but
many
like,
people.
How did they? I'm
with
so serious.
A Facebook.
I feel like they just added people.
They added anybody they'd ever heard of.
Right. Yeah.
And I started doing that to try to get my count up. And then I was like, wait a minute. And then I graduated from high school, I was like, get all these people out. And now I have like, I think probably like 700 friends on Facebook or something. Because I'm like, I don't need, and I'm like, who are all these people? Like, I don't need to be friends with these many people on Facebook.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And I can't imagine needing to impress more people than like the 60 people in my grade.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like in high school and middle school.
Right. Yeah.
Because now that's, like, how it is. It's, like, it feels like social media is, like, you need to impress the world. Yeah. It's, like, not just your friend group, not just the people in your city, not just the people in your industry, the world.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, everybody at the same time.
Yes, you got to please them all. Yeah. Because they take things and misconstrue them very easily because no one listens to everything.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. It's pretty insane. So I do think the next generation is probably going to be
fed up
to themselves. Yeah, I feel like they're going to want things to themselves, and they won't even really care about all the stuff that we care about in a way, and they'll probably start to find us cringe for thinking things are cringe.
Yeah,
and you know, absolutely. Truthfully, I'll probably be with them.
Right. Yeah, saying like, cringe is cringe stuff. Now.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's like, wow, huh?
I remember when Miley Cyrus left Twitter with that rap.
Oh right.
Oh God. Yes,
I deleted my Twitter.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my, I was like, literally, I was like, oh my God, let her speak.
Yeah.
Like y'all pissed her off. Y'all have upset her.
Oh my God.
And she's being serious.
She's right.
That's so funny. That's so true.
I understand why every celebrity like goes off social media.
No, you can't be on social media as a celebrity. You can't.
No,
you can't be. Because it would ruin your life. It would literally ruin your life because all these people hate you for no reason.
Right.
And they just choose to.
Or love you and then cross all boundaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Josh Hutcherson was like, no.
Yeah.
I'm PETA, but I'm Josh.
Which I don't know y'all. Yeah, exactly. Y'all can make these edits, but I don't know y'all.
I don't know.
Make the fan cams, but move on.
You will not see me
often. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, he moves in silence, which is fair. So Zay,
yes,
I was watching, or your video just came up on my feed the other day of the Phineas and Ferb.
I love it. That's amazing.
And I was like, oh, he's right. I was like, yes, this is how it would be if they had black parents.
Yeah.
And also, where are they getting the finances? Because yeah. they always are signing some paper, some yeah. lease with these grown men in the yard. Like, what is the bank account?
Yeah, and they're like members of the city council yes. as well. Like, canonically members of the city council. And I tried to think
what,
about
Phineas
the fact
and Ferb themselves?
Phineas yes. and Ferb are members of the Danville City Council.
They have power.
They have, like power in, like, the industry. And I'm like, my mom wouldn't have let me do that.
No.
Like genuinely, she would not have, not even on some, like, she was trying to, like, suppress me or whatever, but it was just like, no, you can't build a roller coaster. What if right. you get hurt?
And you can't tell me that she didn't notice, like, the grass being matted down in right, the backyard exactly. from all of their projects.
Exactly.
Candace is not lying.
No, also, Candace wasn't wrong. I'm a Candace fan.
That was, yeah, I did y'all watch the movie that, like, where Candace was the main character?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Okay,
I
it's can't a musical.
Wow.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes.
Because they have great music.
And they have great
so
music.
Good.
They have great music.
I think it came out in 2020, so I watched it, like, during quarantine.
Yeah.
I need to watch it again because,
me too, because
it's
I don't remember
really
the
good. It's like Candace gets her, like,
her moment.
Her arc and her moment to be like, y'all, I was telling the truth the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, you need to acknowledge this.
Well, I mean, they gaslit her
gaslit
the entire
her
show.
But like,
her mother was
her
gaslighting
mother
her.
Yeah, her
the
mom,
boys,
too.
The boys technically didn't. They were always like, Candace.
No, yeah.
Why are you so upset? Because they weren't trying to hide anything.
Right, exactly. Right.
Like, sometimes they were like, Mom, come look. Oh, man, it left.
Yeah, exactly.
They've done that maybe twice.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a really unfortunate situation because they loved Candace. Like, the boys.
They were like,
Candace.
Come on, join.
Yeah, and they were all about, like, just, like, showing it. But it was just something would always happen where they can't show. But I'm like, if I'm Candace, I would think my brothers hate me. Mm. My mom's lying. Like, I literally can't convince. I would feel like I'm going crazy.
Me
in
too.
The house,
me
you know?
Too.
But,
no.
like, what are you going to do?
I'm like, how is this? Speaking of generation, I feel like this is a Gen X show because I feel like yeah. that mom is, like, a mom that would just leave her kids at home. Because,
yeah.
like, that's
so,
how
so
our parents
were. Where the hell
were.
Is their father?
Yeah. What's going
where
on?
The
right.
Hell is
he's
there.
British,
right?
Guy.
He's a British
what
guy.
Is his
yeah.
job and where is he?
Where is his job and why is he not in any of these episodes? Now, like, the mom, I get, now, the mom, now, she, I'm not giving her no points because she was gone majority of the time and what the hell was she doing and where was she at? But where the hell was the father? The father didn't even show up in the episode.
No,
oh
wait.
Oh, my God.
Now,
there was one episode this, where he's at the museum.
Yeah, there's one episode.
But I don't know what his job is.
What is his job?
He shows up and he's British and I was like, okay, so that's the explanation
that's
for
dad.
Fur being
right, yes, yeah. That's
British.
Fur being British. But where did they meet? Like, they didn't do no episodes on the parents
no.
at all.
No.
The parents just
wait.
Leave
no,
the damn
there
house.
Was a flashback.
A
yes.
musical episode.
Yes,
episode.
Yes,
they
yes,
met
yes,
in the
yes.
80s.
They met in the 80s.
Wait,
I do remember that.
We keep saying
at
a musical
dance.
Episode and
all
of
the
episodes.
All of the episodes are musicals. Yeah.
No, there's something about music.
But the yeah. Phineas and Ferb music, they were
oh,
good.
They were good.
Because it's Bowling for Soup, isn't it?
Bowling for Soup did the theme song. But Dan Povenmire also wrote on Family Guy. And Family Guy is like really huge musical. Like Seth MacFarlane is huge on music. And then
I think
Dan
the Bowling for
Soup. SpongeBob, too.
I think Bowling for Soup did all the music, though, too, because they sang. Wow. They sang. We're getting the band back together.
Dude,
yes.
we're getting
Dude,
the band
we're
back,
getting
yeah,
the band
yeah,
back
yeah,
together.
Yeah,
my
yeah, they did the band.
Favorite
that's a great
episode.
Song.
I bought that on
that's
iTunes
a great song.
Back then.
Gitchy that Gitchy song. Goo was my song.
Yes.
Yeah,
I love you.
Yeah,
yes.
that was my shit.
And also Busted.
Busted like, was a banger.
That girl can sing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Busted was
and she's
awesome.
Also the vampire in Adventure Time, Marceline.
Oh, my God. I have
she's
to watch
also,
Adventure Time.
She's also, she and Thomas Angster play love interests in Love Actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
And in Phineas and Ferb. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. That's really cool.
She's black.
Yes, she
wow.
is. Olivia Olsen.
Olivia Olsen.
What?
Yes.
Damn, I yeah. had no idea. Mm.
She has a beautiful voice.
That's incredible.
But that wasn't the question.
Okay, really?
That was not even the question.
What was the question?
The question was, because I watched that, this is what came to my mind.
Yeah.
Because I've also seen your Avatar Airbender bits.
Love it.
Do you have a brainstorming process or do you just think of something and then you just go? Or do you like write things down and you're like, I'll get to that this weekend?
You know, truthfully, it just depends. Because this is my full-time job, I was literally just telling this to my friend Maria the other day, was my job, I just, I like never stops. I'm mm-hmm. just constantly thinking of videos all the time. I'm like, this could be this, 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 and this, or whatever. And, you know, sometimes the Avatar ones, a lot of the times the ones that, like, I should say, like, the fandom ones, the Phineas and Ferb, the Avatar, SpongeBob, it's oftentimes come from the fact that I just want to make something about that. The Phineas mm-hmm. and Ferb one, I think I had seen somebody else do a video with Dan Povenmire, and I was like, I want to do a Phineas and Ferb video. So then that's just where my mind goes, and I'm like, all right, what's the angles here? Like, what can I do? And then, like, eventually just leading it to what if they had black parents? Mm-hmm. And, like, for Avatar, I just wanted to do stuff that was, like, I wanted to have my own versions of videos that, of, like, iconic characters. So, like, the Cabbage mm-hmm. Man, like, Cabbage yes. Man. I knew that I just wanted to make a video about him. And a lot of the times, it's, like, the situations themselves are already, like, so written and so, like, well done. Like, I don't really feel like I need to do anything. Because a lot of the times for my videos, I'm just being myself, but as that bird, like right. that character. Yes. So for like the Cabbage Guy, it was more so I was just like sitting, I'm like, if I was the Cabbage Guy, first of all, we need to talk about the fact that they haven't paid for any of these things.
Right. they keep on smashing.
They keep smashing my stuff. I can't sell anything. And then I have to buy the new cart. And then like, they have given me money for the cart. And I'm like, that's so much money.
Right.
$50,000.
No. Yes. I think, that is interesting because you are playing yourself and it's kind of just like the logistics of how would you react to this absurdity?
Exactly.
Because we don't get that story from whatever show we're watching. It passes by.
It's like a recontextualization.
Exactly, It's more so just like, because there's so much that you, when you're watching like any fiction in general, there's so much stuff that you're like, oh, okay, well, it's fiction, so obviously I'm not going to look deeper into that.
Right.
But it's sometimes very funny if you look deeper
into
it.
Like, did that just happen in the
what
background?
What the hell are the logistics of this?
What?
What's going on?
Who's giving them enough wood to build roller coasters?
Right.
Like, signing off on these kids? That's child negligence. Like, somebody needs to call CPS on their parents. Like,
yeah, why are they giving the kids the clipboard in the first place?
Right, exactly.
And
like,
leaving
this
equipment with the children.
Yes.
And they're tiny.
Yeah, and they're
tiny. These are really small kids.
Yes, these are clearly children, and they're not hiding that they're kids.
No. They're very strangely shaped children, too.
Very strangely shaped children. No one's asking any questions about that.
Yeah, for even their world. Like, no one else looks like Phineas and Ferb.
Nobody else looks like
him. Not even Candace.
So the only people shaped like a triangle and the letter F
and a
are
stump.
Ordering a bunch of shit so that they can build a helicopter to travel across the city. Where the fuck are the permits at? I can't do that.
Who are you?
Who are these kids? Like, who are these children? And also, how much did we spend? Perry doesn't spend no time at that house.
Yes,
no.
And also, like, do they have a reputation now? Like, they have done so many things. They have to have, like, fans.
They
have a fan club.
They do. Yeah,
I think so.
By the end, they better.
Yeah, people have to, like, know about
there
them.
There they are again.
Around. And I guess
something's
at
about
that
to
point,
happen.
Yeah, I guess at that point, people are like, well, that's just Phineas and Ferb. They always do that. But I'm thinking, like, from the beginning, though,
their parents have to know what they're up to if their names are in the community.
Or the parents just aren't around.
The parents are not around.
Maybe they're in London. Maybe they go on vacation.
I swear, I bet you the...
They have to be like, they have to have heard... Oh, everyone's talking about a backyard beach, it turns out it to be our backyard.
They're
calling about our address.
They don't have no friends that live in Danville because
right.
they bring people from the community to these places.
Yeah,
they've shown scenes where they walk away and they're like, "That was a really fun party at Phineas's house."
Yeah,
they don't give a damn.
They don't know. They know their names. They don't.
Know.
That's crazy.
What are they up to?
Right. What are they up to? Yeah. So like that's a lot of the times when I'm coming up with videos, it's just like I'll just take whatever crazy scenario it is and I'm like, what are the details of this? If we look into the details of like what are the things that would make me go if I was writing this to make me go, well, that's unrealistic.
Right.
You know, because
just
of
all
this.
The questions.
Yeah, exactly. And then you just like start asking them as that character is kind of how I come up.
I really liked the Renee rap one you did about the interview. Because that interview of her being like, fuck you, buddy, I hate you.
Yeah.
I watched it like so many times.
Me too.
It was so funny.
Me too.
She was like, my friend's laughing in the other room.
You. Yeah.
She said it. She said, that's right, my friend is screaming in the other room. Come on, Priscilla.
Yeah.
I was like,
that one was so funny to make because like they also did the bit that like the My Biggest Wish thing, that was an actual Mean Girls, like they had done that bit. And I'm like, Everybody else has normal videos except for her. Everybody else does normal videos except for her. And she just like it goes off in every single interview. It's so funny. But we're actually mutuals on TikTok. I was scared to post that because we're mutuals, but we're mutuals in a sense of like, I don't know Renee Rapp. Like we're mutuals like in a sense that I was going viral like a lot. So at one point in time, she like followed me or whatever. And like, I have never like spoken to her. And I was a bit afraid because I was like, there's a chance she's going to see this if it goes viral, and I don't want her to think I'm making fun of her.
Right.
So if you look at the captions in the comments for that video, I'm like, she's an icon, capital letters. I love Renee Rapp. This is shit hilarious. Every single comment, they're like,
be not confused.
Yeah, yeah, right. Every single comment, they're like, she's so crazy. I'm like, yeah, and I love it, and I think it's fucking great.
Oh my God, I know that feeling. I know that exact feeling. Jesus Christ, because sometimes you're in like fandom talk, sometimes you just say crazy things like, yeah, you're like, oh my God, he looked disgusting. Yeah. Like, honestly, that's me reacting to like some Harry Styles.
Yeah.
But people will think I'm being serious. I'm like, no, he looks amazing.
No, yeah. Literally, when me and Amber were in high school together for like only 2 years, yeah, and like what we would like run up to each other and like show each other pictures, and we'd be like, oh my God, I hate him. And then this other girl like was like, I thought that he was really your favorite. Liked him.
Wait, what happened? And it's like,
what happened?
Like, no.
And like, no, let me be clear.
You have to.
I hate that man.
Yeah. No, yeah. Let me be clear. I can't stand him.
No, you have to it's coming. When you're doing like these TikToks and when you're like doing these parodies and stuff, it's coming from a place of love.
Right.
That's why
exactly.
I love them so much. Yeah. It's not like you're doing it from an insider and like
you've
a fan's
seen it so
perspective.
Many times because you love it. You're looking at it a different way.
Exactly,
I can't vibe with like jokes and comedy where it's like coming from an outside, like just making fun of somebody.
Right, yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, well, why don't you make fun of yourself? Like,
yeah.
I can make fun of fangirls and fandom because I know every single type
right.
of them intricately, but I'm not going to get on here and be like, yeah, what a bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
right.
they're so uncool. What a bunch of nerds.
Right. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just a different.
It's a different vibe. When you come from the world, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, you're clearly doing this with love. And I feel like that's always what ends up happening is that those fears tend to go away once I'm like, okay, clearly if I'm coming from at this with love, then there's not a way that it's going to be perceived as like, I'm hating on somebody, you know,
yeah.
what I mean? Because I think that just looks differently. I think if I had come to the Renee Rapp video and being like, she's so, look at this insane thing that she's saying, and like, and she's so crazy after, or I was like doing a bunch of like weird things, like over dramatic stuff.
Right. I was gonna say it's all sometimes like if they do stuff in the face where it's like this is just clearly them making fun of.
Yeah, they're making a bit or whatever.
This isn't even how the person was talking.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I didn't even see your caption. I think I saw it on your story first, and then I was like, I can tell this is made with respect.
Like, yeah, you can definitely tell.
Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I was very, very nervous to post it, but she reposted it and I was like, okay, thank God. I was able to like, take a breath. I'm like, okay, awesome.
Oh, I bet you made her laugh.
I hope so.
You're from South Carolina, right?
I'm from South Carolina.
Okay. Isn't she from South Carolina?
She's from North Carolina.
Okay. So we're all from the South.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's like the recognition of like another person from the South who like does not put up with bullshit. Shit.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Because like, there
she said, I can't fucking stand you. I was like, what did Buddy do? Buddy did something.
Yeah.
Buddy did.
Buddy
what did he
up.
Do? He did like
mean to my friend. You were disrespectful to my friend.
What did he say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's such a like. It's so counter to the culture in the South to be like outspoken.
Right.
As a woman specifically.
Yeah.
Like, and I love that like all the artists that I meet from the South are just like so passionate about being like, yeah, that maybe that's what society says, but like we are Southern.
Yeah.
And we are going to say what's on our mind.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You better know it. And you remember where we come from. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because we don't play that shit.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like y'all thought that because I was Renee Rapp and I was coming in here that you could just treat my friends any type of way. No, I'm blowing you up in a video.
Right.
But
like,
that's exactly how it gets done.
I'm not out here for these like respectability politics.
Right, exactly.
No,
I don't play
loudly.
None of that like PR management and shit.
Yes.
I manage my own PR.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I'm gonna manage you right now.
Right.
I'm manage you right now.
Sit
this
down.
Video.
And Miley said, "Can't be tamed." Britney had her spurt.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it's literally
exactly.
like, who
yeah, exactly.
are you talking? Who are you talking to?
Yeah. Like, who are you?
I'm sorry.
To?
What did you just? Who are you? What, who did you say that to?
Yeah.
What
the fuck are
you? Because it wasn't me.
Please remind me, because it certainly wasn't me. Who
yeah. No. Like, what about? It wasn't me. What about being polite?
Yeah.
Because if we want to drop being polite, I can drop being polite.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I was being polite for you.
Right. Exactly. So you know. Thanks,
oh my god.
Hey.
I want to know what Buddy did.
Me too.
Me too. I don't know. I guess he was just rude in general. Yeah. I believe everyone
yeah.
she says.
Yeah. Because it is a Southern woman like popping off, and they'll pop off, but it's like they'll pop off when you aren't polite back to them.
Right.
Because they come into it like we're all supposed to be polite. Kind of like
exactly.
Zuko.
Yes.
Zuko's a Southern woman. Because yeah. he ran.
Yeah, he ran.
He ran. And also, why, like he said something about Zhao. He was like, he didn't do it fair. He didn't do it fair.
Yeah.
He gets like, up right. in people's face. That it's why he was banished, because he does not know how to hold his
tongue. He doesn't
tongue.
Know.
No, and
how
he thinks everyone's moving fair, and it's like, no,
right,
child.
Exactly.
He
yeah,
said
yeah.
he's like, he doesn't have the like he doesn't have the hierarchy in his brain.
Right.
He's like, yeah. I can speak to anybody anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's what got him in trouble, but it's yeah. also it's like he can't help it.
Yeah,
he was 13.
He can't help it. First of all,
I'm on my rewatch of Avatar. I'm on season 3, and I really just recognized on the beach episode. I'm like, oh my god, they're Nepo babies.
Yes!
I literally said that I on our Avatar episode. I said to Amber, I was like, Azula is a Nepo baby for war.
Yes.
That's why she's so good
that's
at it.
That's why she's so yes. good at it. Yes. That's what like that's everything about them is like they don't know how to interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching it when I was a kid, I was like, oh, they don't know how to interact with people because they're just on a different level as them. Now as an adult, I'm like, no, they're not better or worse. They just don't they aren't around people.
Yes,
around.
They're Nepo babies. He was banished, but he got an entire fleet ship and
yeah.
army.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like
crew.
Even
and
his
he knows
banishment.
How they work. Like he's yeah. like, you hey guys, you're a bunch of kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Azula was always 14 steps ahead of them.
Yes,
like
exactly.
and it's because she's a Nepo baby for war. She knows how to do it.
Yes,
they
exactly.
don't know how to do it.
That's so true.
They've been training her since a child.
But literally. Yeah, like the Nepo baby thing where they're like, they cannot be normal teens. They do not act like normal
no.
teens.
They don't
leave
ever.
Those walls. Or
they've been
palisade.
Ever.
Yeah.
She's treated that volleyball tournament like a battle. That
yes,
was,
exactly. She doesn't
insane.
Know how to play games.
Uh-huh.
Like
yes.
it's like, oh,
she doesn't know how to flirt.
No.
Like
yeah,
no.
which really made me be like, thank God I'm never the Avatar. I was never the Avatar. Like thank God. I used to want to be one of the most powerful people or whatever. And I'm like, oh, my God.
No,
that shit sounds
that.
Terrible.
No, it
no
sounds
friends.
Awful.
No, nobody wants that.
I have no friends. I don't want to do all mm-mm. that. Man.
And
Aang
couldn't
normal.
Even play with his friends.
Aang couldn't play with his
no,
friends.
No, and that was
oh.
that was bad on them. Because
I know,
he was the Avatar yesterday when he was playing with y'all.
Right,
and
exactly.
And he's the Avatar today.
He's,
yeah.
he's the only one of y'all that has their tattoos.
Yes, yeah.
Yesterday
exactly.
and today.
Yeah, so
and also, then they panned to, like, this the character that they're like, who wants this guy on their team?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, whoever gets that guy... can also get Aang.
Right, yes.
If they aren't,
because then it's like they cancel each other out.
They balance each other out.
Yes.
Boom. If that's what the difference is.
Right.
But, you know, kids.
And now he's an Avatar, I guess.
And now he's an Avatar.
He could just go on the Avatar stage.
Which is insane, but yeah.
Where do you see yourself with in regards to musicals? Like, do you want to, like, be in movie musicals? Do you want to go into the Tonys?
I want to do stage musicals. Like, ultimately, my goal, like, in life is to... to be on Broadway, and the reason why I moved to Los Angeles was because I was doing TikTok, and that's this. I felt like influencer wise, this is the better city than New York. And also it was the pandemic. I didn't really want to move to New York and be in like cramped. To be completely
yeah.
truthful, I wanted to move
yeah.
to LA. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So I moved out here to do that. But you know, fully my plans were to get what I could get out of influence, like being an influencer or just like doing content, and get it and take it to New York or take it wherever and just be able to perform on stage, because that's really what I really love to do. I not only do I love musicals, I love plays, I just love theater in general. So yeah, that's my goals ultimately. But while I'm here, you know, I've been trying to do film, I've been trying to act in that way, but
yeah, you
yeah.
can definitely grow your skill out here and then take it to New York.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
also, like,
exactly.
the comedy community is, like, an extent... Like, I don't know, there's, like, so many different communities that are doing, like, live theater.
Right, yeah.
So, like, you know, there's comedy, and, like, that's, like, one version, and then there's, like, improv and stuff, but
yeah.
there's so many plays that
yeah.
happen.
There's
yeah.
so many. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've been, like, I did a play in January, and I'm trying to, like, write a one-person show now.
Ooh,
so, like, start to just
yeah.
perform live again, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I like ultimately, I just want to be able to get everything that I can get out of the city before I eventually do move to New York. Because I think ultimately, like, that's my dream. You know, that's always been my dream. It's like, it's everything to me. Theater is everything to me. So,
yes. And also just hearing your story with Dear Evan Hansen, that's like so, that is so real. Just like have that reaction where it's like, I'm awakened. Like, I just feel like how I felt when I first saw it. Like,
Watching it, I was like, I can understand why people think this is bad. I can understand why people did not like this. I can understand being like, why is Ben Platt look older than he's in this high school? But I'm like, to me, when I see him put on that shirt and I can't be mad at it. He could be 60 years old and play and sing that, and he's going to make me cry. Because that is everything to me.
That's fangirling.
You know, it's theater. I just love it. It's everything.
Oh my God. Well, this is such a fun episode.
Oh, so fun.
We're going to have you back on for our Avatar rewatch.
Yes. Please do.
Tell us your favorite episode again.
My favorite episode
Episode era.
My favorite episode is the Tales of Ba Sing Se, but my favorite season is season 3.
And that's
my favorite season of season.
That's my favorite season.
I love
it. It's the best. It just keeps getting better.
It gets better and better every single time.
It really does.
The beach is up there. I love that episode.
The ensemble of it all, it's just...
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, my gosh. And just Zuko's arc. I'm on Zuko's arc where he comes and joins the team. So I'm like... It's the best arc in television for me. Every time I watch it, I'm like, this is a perfect show.
Yes, it's there's like, nothing wrong with this. It's beautiful how he got there.
It's beautiful. And literally,
you just release a deep breath. You're like, yes, go back.
I remember when he first like started the inklings of like having some moral quandaries in season 2. I turned to Aaron and I said, what's going on with Zuko? It's like
he's figuring it out.
What's going on with Zuko?
He's figuring it out
because he was just so evil in the first season.
Just bad.
And I mean, like, he was just indoctrinated. This kid was indoctrinated.
Yeah, he has one goal. No sense around it.
He doesn't understand that life can be what you make it. He thinks that life has been made for him already, so he's just living that. It's like it's bad. Like, I understand why they were so hesitant to add him to the group, but thank God for circumstance. Because he would have never joined if the Avatar didn't need a firebender teacher. But like the fact that they did, it's like, guys, we have to put this away for the sake of the world. And thank God.
God. He's the cutest friends in the world.
He had the capacity to change. And also like his like instinct to question everything too. That was like what made
and he always did his the problem with him, he was indoctrinated, but he still was like, we need to play fair with whatever rules he was indoctrinated
to.
He was just like always like, we need to play fair. He just didn't have the right
He just didn't know who to really go with. And you know, his uncle tried to get him in the right direction, but even in season 2 it was too early. He just didn't have enough. He had to experience what it was like to get what he wanted and know that it wasn't enough first. You know what I mean? Because otherwise he would have always been like...
Oh my God, I can't believe... when you're describing it like this, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe they had him go back to the fire
division. I know! Like,
it was what he wanted the whole time. It was exactly what he wanted.
It was everything. And then the line, because I just watched the episode last night, is the line that he got invited to his father's war circle or whatever. And he said, I was the perfect prince, but I wasn't me. And I'm like, that's right. Like, he could not have woken up without having that feeling.
No.
He had to get everything and recognize, oh my God, I'm different than who I was before this. You know what I mean?
Like,
I thought that this was everything to me. It's not.
This is not what, this is not meant for me.
And he's like, banishing me was the best thing you could have done for me.
Yeah, exactly. And it was.
It really forced
him to see the world, and it forced him to literally see the world.
See
outside of his little bubble.
Yeah.
See other nations.
Yeah.
Like,
and recognize how much they hate the Fire Nation.
Yes,
he was like
they don't praise us, they fear us.
Right. I'm like, I could tell, like, he genuinely thought that this was a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, everything was a good thing.
Because
Because that's what they were told, you know what I mean?
I am really excited to see what they do with that in the live action. Totally love that they were hinting at him being good in the first season already.
Because
I'm like,
let him
just be a brat.
Let him just be
a brat. And then learn his lesson at the end. I love when in the animated, when Iroh, like, is screaming at him, and he's like, you had no plan!
Yeah, yeah.
You got your avatar, and then you didn't do shit.
You didn't do anything because you didn't know.
What were you going to do?
You're just doing whatever you think is the right thing, but you don't know. Yeah, right. You have no idea.
Oh my God, I was like, you need to stop being reckless. Yeah. Because like, I'm here, and I really need you to just be careful.
Right. Yeah.
Like it is.
That's so
you're getting
real.
Chaotic.
Right, exactly. Like you're now endangering me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying. Like, right. You know, you got your destiny, but I got my life. Yeah, so let's exactly, like figure exactly. This out.
Right, yes. And it's like, oh,
come on, Zuko. Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. No. Please, I would love to come back when y'all do
rewatch. We're gonna get it on it.
I'd love to. That sounds awesome. Oh my
god. Oh my goodness. Okay. Wow. Do you have any projects or anything to tell the people?
Plug.
Anything
oh, my friend's short film is coming out, Shepherd Moon. Sometime soon. Probably not anytime before this episode comes out. But be on the lookout for it on my socials.
Bolo.
My socials are that's my friend Maria Small, by the way.
Shout out Maria Small.
My socials are Zay Dante with two Y's on TikTok. Zay Dante, and then on Instagram Zay Dante with one Y.
Nice.
Perfect. Yes, perfect.
Thank y'all for having me on. I love fangirling with y'all. I love being a fangirl anytime that I can. So
yes! Awesome. Fangirling. So cool. Oh my goodness. Thank you for teaching us, or thank you for finally getting me to watch Chicago. I would probably never would have.
Oh, I thank you for getting her to watch Chicago. It's one of my favorite
movies.
It's
good, though!
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Really I mean, so many great movie musicals.
Yeah.
So it's so good. Well, you can follow us at fangirl.central on mostly everything. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and subscribe to our Patreon. We will be releasing our Avatar rewatch half on here, but half of them will be under the paywall.
Yes.
And that's just Fangirl Central.
Yes.
Right.
And thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And as always, keep it chaotic.